Let's just open in prayer. Just kind of invite the Spirit's presence. We know that He's here. We know that He's near. We just want to welcome His presence and His guidance. Make the choice to set aside whatever it is that you brought in is distracting and is consuming. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Spirit of the living God, we thank you that you are the comforter and the convictor. We thank you that you are dwelling with us as we journey through life. We thank you for your gift and your presence. Tonight, as we share stories and reflect upon how you're moving us forward in our stories. Shape us and mold us more into the likeness of Christ. We pray for those who cannot be here tonight for whatever reasons those might be. For parents, it is a busier time of the year. There's much going on, but we still hold them up. And we ask that you would honor our time here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had shared a passage with you in Proverbs the last time we got together about a man who was walking past a garden. He was walking past his neighbor's garden. He looked and it was all covered with thistles and covered with briars and it had gotten weeded. And he said that he observed and he looked and he understood that out of negligence it leads to poverty. Not being proactive. Now that lesson came because he was willing to slow down, take a look, and make an observation. We are learning in our Christian life how to slow down and make an observation, that there are times when God draws near. And God, truth be told, draws near probably a whole lot more than we really realize. He is subtle and he is kind and he is always very present. But what are those nudges, those moments in life where we sense that presence? It could be something big, it could be something small, it could be a speed bump, it could be a brick wall. But learning to be attuned to those, especially so that we can help others through their journey in life. And I had asked you last time we got together, let's see if we couldn't reflect maybe and press into something that was a little bit more challenging, a little bit more difficult. It's easy to talk about the weather, but are there times in our life, most recently, where maybe we felt like we've hit a brick wall? And what does that mean? What is God asking us to do and what are we going to do about it? The process of repentance. I'm going to reflect on this. I'm going to share it with others. I'm going to work towards coming to a consensus and a plan. I'm going to bring some accountability into it and I'm going to work on it because God wants to take me somewhere. Within the wardrobe of the high priest in Exodus and Leviticus was an interesting little jewel called the Urim and the Thummim. Literally means the lights and the perfects. It was a type of oracle that was situated within the breastplate of the high priest. No one knows exactly what it was. It's referenced about 7 times in the course of the Old Testament, but it was a means by which you could inquire of God. It was the red telephone, if you will. And we see examples, there's about 20-some examples in the Old Testament where kings and leaders would go inquire of the Lord. It meant that they would go to the high priest and through some oracle, a form of divination, the high priest was able to discern what it was specifically that God wanted done. Almost, there's very odd examples sometimes where, the armies and the generals come to the Lord, hey, should we go out and fight so-and-so? Yep, you should go fight. And then they go fight and they lose. They come back the next day. Hey, should we go out and fight? Absolutely, go fight, God says. And they go out and they fight and they lose. But they keep coming back. And there is one point where God says, yep, go fight and I will give you victory. Okay. But yeah, what's important to note is that God was available for communication. God was expecting communication. And God gives guidance. What's also important to note is the king was not allowed to use it. The king had to go talk to the high priest. that everything that God does, God moderates through someone else. That for the king to get God's guidance, he had to go talk to someone else. He was not allowed to possess or use this on his own. Isn't that true of our lives, though? And so often, God, I want guidance. God, I want guidance. God, I want guidance. And that guidance will come through brothers and sisters. Well, you tell me, what are various means that God might offer us guidance? Friends. Friends. Sure. Definitely. Perfectly spiritual friends. Yeah. I've gotten a lot of bad guidance from friends. Yeah. What else? Okay. Hey, there's some wisdom. They did A, B, C, D, F, G, and if I, yeah, definitely.
But a lot of times, whether that's you trying to twist something into what you think it is.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting one? Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone, and they came to me. It was just a session of counseling, and they said, "Well, God told me to do this." Well, let's talk about that. And they got very frustrated, very flustered, very quickly that I would presume that maybe that's not what God had said. Or if that is what God has said, we could probably test that by holding it up to things that God has already said. Is this in line with how God functions? Is this in line with his character? Is this in line with scripture? And they were visually agitated that I would question that thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying that God didn't say it. I'm just saying, just because you feel good in your stomach about a decision doesn't necessarily mean, right? Right?
People try to justify
things that don't make sense. 100%. 100%. Jesus even specifically says, hey, the wide gate, you got to watch out for that one. It's the narrow gate, the hard gate through which we'll find deliverance. Yeah, scripture, right? God will guide us through scripture. But it's moderated, meaning it's coming through. There is a built-in dependency into the body of Christ. It's designed so that no one can live a successful, vibrant, flourishing, abundant life on their own. You can't do it. It's impossible. Think about how spiritual gifts are distributed. Think about how talents are distributed, how money is distributed. Think about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives so that we need one another to move forward in the Christian life. And whenever we find a brother or sister that is not open to community and fellowship or starts to close themselves off, we ought to get very, very concerned. The whole reason I bring that up is the idea of community is built into the process of repentance. I need help as I'm reflecting upon what God might be asking me to do. I need help doing what I think it is that God is asking me to do through the process of sharing, through the process of accountability. If I could do it on my own, I wouldn't have needed the accountability and I would have pulled it off the first time. But yeah. So tonight, we're sharing to practice that, to experience the grace of God that comes through the body of Christ, to be restored, to be renewed, but also to give grace ourselves. To give grace ourselves, because we can't do it by ourselves any more than the king can get instruction on his own. You know, it takes all of us together. You know, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the Apostle Paul makes it very clear. There is not one body, part of the body, that's allowed to say to the other parts of the body, I don't need you. I don't need you. I can do this without you. No, there's a built-in dependence. So I want us just to have the opportunity to share what is something that you're going through, you're working through, you're asking, what is it that God's asking me to do, and what am I going to do about it? Something that's maybe a bit challenging. It always amazes me, Andy, how high that eyebrow can really get.
It can get very high and work independently.
share one with you. And it's not overly dramatic, but it was something that was a bit challenging to me. But it was an opportunity that God gave me to grow and prayerfully help somebody else to grow. I was trying to get connected with a young gentleman in this church. And he was kind of, to use a modern term, ghosting me. Okay, which, believe it or not, happens a lot in my profession.
That's avoiding.
And what's that? Is that understandable? No, maybe that's, yeah, maybe. And I was actually in the process of driving to his house to try to connect, and he kind of rebuffed me quite directly, and I'm like, but then he had communicated something rather, he had basically said, in essence, you know, I'm not in a good headspace right now, and I don't understand why she does what she does. I'm like, well, game on. I'm assuming that he's talking about his wife. Says, well, hey, you know, what can I do? You know, well, it doesn't make any sense. I don't even know why she's mad and she won't tell me.
This is my husband.
We're dealing with newlywed, but pretty new to the process. Yeah, and so I slowed down and I told him, I said, you know, there's probably a real good chance it's not even you. It's not even you. You know, they're trying to figure out married life, and there's a whole host of reasons why the other half might get upset. And there's lots of reasons why that upsetness just ends up in your lap. So he just kind of gave me an opportunity to go slow with him. I wasn't getting out of the conversation what I was hoping for. But prayerfully, it gave me a chance to give him some comfort and some perspective. And he's got some, not marching orders, but has a means by which he can help come alongside of his bride. So, but that was just in the process. I'm learning that, all right, let's slow down and let's see what's going on and let's ask some questions. But I'm thankful for those little moments, and prayerfully it helped him through his life moment. What about you? What's something that you're working through? Wrestling with.
Glad he opened up to you. Back to you. Because even though you were, I'm done with him, he's ignored me, but then you planted a seed that he's thinking, well, maybe I don't understand this. Maybe folks being in person is too powerful.
Yeah.
Generation, texting is easier.
It is. That is so very true. Yeah. Texting, Facebook messaging. Yeah,
they're not used to front-to-front.
It's very threatening.
Back in the olden days, if you wanted a loan, you went to the bank and you talked to a loan officer, a person, face-to-face.
Yep.
And you just did things like that. And the younger generation, they have no clue of that.
And they really struggle with that.
I have trouble because I want to go talk to a person at the bank.
What's something that God is asking you to do, and what are you trying to figure out what to do about?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I have really started focusing on my health, and that journey has not been very easy for me all my life.
Mm.
So I'll be 40 this next year in January. And one of my things was, okay, I'll go to the gym. Well, I started, of course, pre-pandemic. The gym closed 3 days later.
Great plan.
So I'm like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. So it's really been one of these eye-openers that, you know, I've given up some things in my life. And one of them was bad choices with alcohol.
Mm,
and,
yeah.
You know, wrong friends and things like that. And so I really reflected on, you know, what is God asking me? Well, I have became really good friends with two gals that are, one, the gym owner,
and
the second one is, her husband is a minister. So it's like, thank you, God, I have really good friends. So we actually signed up just recently. We did a challenge last year where we did a Spartan race, and it was a 5K. So we told each other this year we're going to hold each other accountable and do a 21K. So it's long distance running, and it's very much competitive with us three ladies. In fact, a few have dropped out because it was just too tough.
Wow.
So these long races, you know, accountability measures up to long distance running, which today was 4 miles, you know, and you do it every, you train every other day, you know, it's
wow.
Time in the gym. So it's really that accountability. Well, to make a long story short, I kind of was like, okay, this is my pain. This is what I'm going to choose to share tonight. I had noticed when I put my shoes on that something was just a little uncomfortable in that shoe. And as the ran got a little longer, I was in mile 2 into 3, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is like a stone in my foot. And so about mile 4, I'm like, okay, I've had enough. Open it up, and it's this itty bitty, itty little pebble.
It's the smallest of.
Smallest, and it was like, all right, God,
Princess in the pea.
An analogy of kind of like, you know, the mustard seed. Or,
yeah.
You know, what it would be like for, you know, that pain level of what
right.
It could be.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just kind of eye-opening to me that, you know, here I am trying to do something good and something bad could happen from this little thing. You know, I could get sore, I could,
that's true.
You know, stop running. And it was just, it was
that's true.
Eye-opening for me, and the analogy that so many times in life I've had something very small as a roadblock that I saw very large, and yet it wasn't large, you know, and it was like, okay, these ladies are keeping me accountable. They're a godsend to me, you know? And so it's really just challenged me in my life that it's an opportunity for me. You know, these are vulnerable runs. So these are we have very fun conversations. We tell dad jokes. We tell
dad jokes.
We tell life stories. We get to know each other, and we've really bonded over this friendship, not only as a friendship, but scripture. We pray together before we run. Things
that's
that
good.
I normally wouldn't do with another group, you know? And so it's just been really eye-opening for me to see.
So did you take the stone out of your shoe?
I did. It was very eye-opening that it was just this little pebble, and I thought, this is such a pain in my foot. So.
But if you slow down, stop, and you deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, all right, God, you're giving me a lesson for life right now.
Were you feeling it? Oh, that's good. Kudos to you for running.
Thank you.
I don't run.
No smiles when you run.
No, everyone else smiles when I run.
You say it's fun, but I don't see no smiles on your face.
Someone else. Thank you, Christy. What's something that God is asking you to do? What are you going to do about it? Be those some white legs, man.
They're not bad.
Okay.
Tan line going on here.
Sure. All right. Like it. Someone else. What's God asking you? Where are you being challenged? Where is it? Maybe a little bit more than a stone in the shoe, or maybe it is a stone in the shoe. Where is it? A brick wall? Where is it? A speed bump? Wow.
I mean, it's been all my life, but most challenging has been last year. Moving her into an independent living place, going through her things, the challenges that go with that.
Yeah.
The patience that I'm trying to learn. The things I'm trying to.
What do you mean, not challenge her on?
Well,
like, don't take the bait?
Every time I am getting ready to leave, it's like she has to get a last minute dig in about something before I walk out the door. Because it's like she needs to get a response from me. And it didn't used to ever be a good response. And I've just learned over the past few months to just say, all right, whatever. See ya. And she doesn't like that. And I know she doesn't like that because she likes confrontation. And so it's been a hard learning curve for me because I know some of it is onset dementia. So some things we know, we we have to figure out what's game for her and what's really truly
her struggling with something. Okay.
And because she's played games all of her life, so you know, we've kind of
yeah.
But I would say that's been my most challenging thing in the past year.
Mm-hmm. I know you've had we have interesting conversations. But I'm not related to her. I'm like, whatever.
And it's hard to deal with someone who never has a glass half full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever in her life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Have you found things to do that make those moments easier? I mean, imagine knowing that that moment's going to come. You can kind of help fortify yourself as far as patience and kindness goes.
Yeah, I try. And sometimes I just know removing myself is the best thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. When at all possible,
because
live at peace with one another.
Walk away.
That's good, Brad. That's good.
And not that I'm ignoring the situation.
Nope.
But I just know that will lead to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. So for me, I just have to learn how to deal with that and balance that.
Mm-hmm. And this is a good question for anybody. Why might these difficult moments, the stones in the shoe, the difficult moms, whatever those challenging, why might those become some of the most fruitful seasons of our life? Why can those become the most fruitful seasons of our life? Okay, what do you mean?
Looking at the positives of what I came from or making something out of the bad.
Yeah.
The roles are flipped, obviously, where you would, you know, it's definitely something that I see with my profession, so it's challenging, but I often tell families that it's tough, you know, when the roles are flipped, but there's definitely appreciation for what you have,
mm-hmm.
the relationship and finding that silver lining sometimes
mm-hmm.
can be challenging.
Yeah. Why might it be possible to lean in with maybe a sense of anticipation when we face difficulties and hardships? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what might enable you to say, you know what? How can you face trials with a sense of joy? What is it about hardships and difficulties that can lead to more fruitful soil?
Well, so, you know, it's in there that it is a purification process from the Lord.
Okay.
That
yep.
to try you, to refine you, to stress you, to make you understand, to make you come back, to look for the light.
Okay. Yeah. So this season,
walk away from
yeah, this season can be used to shape you. Yeah, and if you know that going into it, right? You're like, all right, yeah, this is hard, but you got to choose your hard. I'm going to choose this one. Yeah, good. What else?
Well, it offers perspective a lot of times. Because when something becomes challenging, you tend to step back and
yeah.
look at it from more than one angle.
Yeah.
Instead of engaging in a situation, you kind of take a step back and go through that checklist of why is she doing it? How should I respond, you know? And I think if, like you said, if you know trouble's coming for a purpose, no matter what it is, you know that God's drawing you near. And so if you lean more into that, it kind of changes that perspective.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be a defeat. Even a defeat can become a win. I'm trying to maneuver. Yeah, maneuver is the right word. My middle child, his soccer team is not the best of soccer teams. He puts in a lot of work. He loves the beautiful game. He loves to play it. But because of challenges in politics and select soccer, touring soccer, a lot of his teammates are leaving and trying out for other teams. And I looked at him very kindly and gently, and I says, hey, it ain't happening. You're not going to leave. This is your team. There is no such thing as greener grass. It doesn't exist. Well, I don't want to play on the team anymore. Well, if you don't want to play soccer anymore, we can have that conversation, but this is your team. If you don't like it, then you can make it better. I says, Aiden, you're not playing soccer to win. I never signed you up for the game so that you could win something. Okay? So use this for what it is. Let it shape you. Let it hone you. If you want your team to be better, then you make it better. That's why you're there. That's why you're there. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. My other son, he had some challenges at a practice because he was afraid he was going to have to practice with a bunch of little kids. I says, well, you can look at it differently then. What if in this trial, you didn't see it as something that you could get out of it, but something that you could give through it? Because do you remember in those moments how cool it would have been, Lucas, as a fourth grader or a fifth grader, to be training with a varsity goalkeeper? I mean, how cool would that have been? Especially a varsity goalkeeper that's nice and kind. He didn't like that either. But yeah, there is something in that moment, the trial, the hardship, forces us into this season of what we call cognitive dissonance, where I'm like, my brain doesn't understand what's going on right now. Like, something is not right. And it's asking the questions that breaks the spell that we're in and that we're under. That place of being status quo. It's that, you know, that thorn in the flesh where all of a sudden I'm starting to ask questions I never asked before. Like, why am I feeling this? What is going on? What am I supposed to do? Without that abrasiveness, without that harshness, we would not slow down to consider that God was drawing near. So it can become a very fruitful time in life. Now, most people don't want to feel that, hear that. You know, what do we want? I want donuts. I want comfort. I want peace. I want the wide path. God says, no. You enter through the narrow gate, and that's hard. You need to go through the hard. You need to go through the hard. Someone else. Share your moment that you're in, the season that you're wrestling through. What's God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it?
I'll go.
All right.
Kind of for goes along with what you're talking about. My father is not really in bad health.
Mm.
But being almost 81, he's lost both his adrenal glands to cancer. He lost a kidney to cancer.
Mm.
He's lost most of his thyroid to cancer.
Yeah.
So he decided that he would take a preventative chemotherapy pill. So, you know, he cycles on and cycles off.
Okay.
So he goes, he has regular checkups, which is for him, you know, it's $40. Man, they're stealing $40 from me every couple months. I'm like, but it's $40 that they go in and tell you that, yeah, you know, that they haven't found anything. So everything seems to be working. And ever since he started the medicine, his appetite, he actually has an appetite. I mean, he calls me up at work, you know, at the end of the day, hey, pick me up chicken livers and chicken legs. I'm hungry. Bring them on.
Mm. Okay. No problem. I am no longer hungry. Chicken livers. Okay.
Or,
that's what he called him.
Or, you know, he'll call me up and go, hey, you know, Lincoln Square's got, they have barbecue ribs. Hey, let's go get, you know, I'll get off. We'll get barbecue ribs. You know, so he has an appetite before he took medicine, started taking that treatment. You'd be lucky to go up. We'd have to go up and make sure he had dinner.
Oh, you know, wow. Okay.
You know, once a week, we're like, well, at least we know once a week he's eating something.
Right, yeah.
So, and, you know, now he calls, hey, I need the miniature candy bars. And we just bought a bag, you know, like the $13 bag, you know, big bag. It's lucky in the last 2 weeks in his refrigerator. So he's like a kid. I mean, he must be popping them two,
you
three.
See my grocery cart. It's fun.
So, I guess it's, you know, the season is I'm enjoying, I'm getting to enjoy the time with him.
Okay.
But I'm waiting for that shoe to fall.
Okay.
Because, you know, they did the last CAT scan and CT scan, and now they're, well, you know, there's a spot, and the one doctor said, well, he reads it, but she can pull up because my chart, so we can see what kind of what read. We're not that a professional should call it. Yeah.
We read it out loud and say, there's a whole bunch of words I don't understand.
So, but you know, you go back and read, it's like, well, it says, well, that spot was there, but now that spot's bigger this time.
Okay.
And then we go to the doctor's visit, and
yeah,
he says, well, I don't see where it says before and four, but now I read this, and it says it was before, was there before. He goes, so I don't understand. So then Dad, I guess, I get it from my father, and he kind of broods, and he thinks, and he's like, you know, he thinks, well, if it goes this way, and trying to
be he's very better. Much like your mom. It's all, it's in his mind, it's bad. Everything is bad.
So
and I'm
trying.
Like, you don't know anything yet though. You don't, you can't say.
So what's God right? asking you to do in this, John?
I'm asking me to be patient, try to be a listener.
Okay.
Try to help him. Probably not worried.
How?
Probably by trying to, you know, bring in that, you know, hey, you know, like what Barb says, you know, hey, we talk about this. You know, I tell him especially, you take what I say with a grain of salt. You're 81. What you think, what you want to do, it's this is your life now.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
But you've made it to this point. You know, mom is gone. Mm. And I've heard you say before that, you know, you miss her. And you're getting tired.
Mm.
So now it's my time. Then I make it more a priority that when I'm there and we try to do stuff together, I make sure I try to enjoy it. I know that it's a memory that I'm being given.
Okay.
So when he has a question or, you know, just to make sure that he feels like somebody is listening to him and wants to be a part of it. So he's not just up there by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just that's the season, trying to make the most of it, trying to gain the information, you know, that's there.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you and, you know, Karen alike, you know, the challenge of honoring your mother and your father. You know, what does that look like to honor that legacy of faith? Yeah, that's to grow in patience. You know, Holy Spirit says, add to your faith patience. All right, what does that mean? How do you do that?
This is a great big step
to learn. Yeah. You kind of put that self in front of you before you walk in the door, and you kind of have, you know, kind of anchor your faith with some of those passages, and you remember that God is steadfast and patient with us. And but yeah, if patience is the challenge, then you're gonna have to fortify your faith with patience. So fuel that. It doesn't happen accidentally.
He wants a John boat so he can get mushroom hunting. He knows up Swift Run where they used to be at. He's like, man, I always said I'd keep a John boat. I don't have a John boat. I just can't remember where I just got the John boat. He's not really needing a John boat. I got to go on mushroom. And he really wasn't mushroom hunting before he took the medicine. And now, I mean, it's almost like 180 degrees. And that's, you know, we've talked about.
That's right. Yeah.
It is until he falls in the lake and he can't get, goes under. And then I'm like, hey, what happened? Hey, well, you got the lake.
Yeah.
Little doomsday.
You haven't seen him. You know he is.
What is God asking you to do, and what are you going to do about it? Where is there a challenge, a frustration? Where can it be helpful just to be sharing with other brothers and sisters in the faith to get some perspective? We're not expecting you to have answers. We're expecting you to have questions.
Well, this time of year, in my job, there's a lot of lack of patience. There's a lot of negativity among the adults that I struggle with.
Mm.
I have a lot of patience for the children. I've found I don't have a lot of patience for the adults that I work with.
Aww.
And that's just, it's this time of year always because, you know,
everybody's tired and everybody's frustrated.
Yeah.
And there's all the end of year drama that precedes beginning of the year drama. And so there's one lady in particular that has started to eat lunch with us that did not eat lunch with us before. Hmm. She brings a lot of negative.
Hmm.
And I struggle with that. So I'm back to that. My natural reaction is to just remove myself from the situation. So, like, I stay there for long enough, but then I'm like, okay, time for a break, and then I leave. And I'm like, there has to be, I just don't know how to fix that, to change that. And I don't know if that's just something that comes with time, since she's, you know, new to us.
She's new to the school?
Yes, but she's also 33 years into the profession. And generally, the longer you go, the more negative it becomes. So it's hard to, and you know, once you spin those wheels in that pattern long enough, it's really hard to break that.
It is.
It is. So that's my biggest current struggle.
So what are you going to do about it?
Have surgery in a week and a half.
That seems a little... It seems a little drastic. Yeah.
Any answer you have for that is?
That's really extreme.
Yeah. Oh, my knee.
I've got a note and everything.
That's probably just long enough to finish off here, isn't it?
Three weeks.
Sure is.
No, I try. Like when she, you can tell when she starts, I try to redirect or, you know, that is frustrating, but, and try to bring that positive perspective in.
Yeah.
Just doesn't land very well yet.
Yeah, and like you said, it might not.
Yeah.
Maybe the spirit's just inviting you to pray for her, right? You don't need her permission to do that. You don't even need to be with her to do that. And prayer is pretty sneaky. It has a way of doing things. Yeah, who knows why? Because there seems to be a reason God has brought her into your life and you into hers.
She's the rock in your shoe.
She is the rock in my shoe for 25 minutes a day. Among the other pebbles in my shoe.
And because that can easily become fodder for things like gossip and complaining. You know, when she gets up to leave, you know, how is the Christian woman going to process the complaining hag that was just at the table? You know, are you going to give in to, oh, here she comes again, or da-da-da? Yeah.
So I don't
end up in that situation. That's it.
Yeah.
Who else? What else? Is something that you're working through?
I'll go.
First of
all, I want to publicly apologize. For some reason, I had in my head that we started at 7:30. And then I walk in, I'm like, Paul's really deep into this. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
oh, yeah, man.
Oh, I thought the same thing. I checked my phone, I went back, and I'm like,
your boss doesn't
read.
He keeps saying 7:30 also, and I keep thinking it's
7. I don't know what I had in my head.
It's 7:30. I had it 7:30 in my head.
Maybe it was put out and it's going to be 7:30. I don't know.
And that was ingrained in my brain. It's hard to override.
No, we're glad that you're here. Well, what are you working on?
So, Dad finally called.
Wow.
So he's got chemo and radiation that he has to work through. It was hard the first call because his throat is swollen and you can hear it in his voice. And apparently he'd been dealing with this for 2 months and then finally went to the doctor and got an antibiotic. Obviously that didn't help and was referred and referred. So he finally found out. He does have throat cancer. He seems very optimistic. He wants to do treatment.
Since the doctors say it's very treatable. I think what hurt more than that was the second phone call. You might remember that I said my dad has a long history of alcoholism, so his voice sounded better and worse at the same time. Better because he didn't sound so constricted, but worse because he had definitely been drinking. So now it's the challenge of trying to rescue or rectify is not the right word, I don't think, but kind of like piece together a relationship.
Yeah.
But even with the whole cancer thing, it was like, man, gotta do this. Like, this is what's right. Gotta put together what we can. And then that second phone call was just like, oh, here we go. All over again. So how do I overcome that aspect of it?
Yeah.
To just make things right and try to make up lost time and try to make the best of a bad situation.
Is that something that God would ask you to do?
Yeah. But at what cost?
It could cost you everything.
Do I put my kids through that?
That's the question, yeah. Yeah, I mean, is God asking Lance and Caleb and Bug to process this, or is God asking you? What's God asking of you? Yeah.
Is it okay to put up boundaries and say, you can't come here when you're like that?
That's what
I yeah. With an alcoholic
right?
Father,
yeah.
I
yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah.
But I put up those boundaries when I said, don't call me.
Right, right.
And then I felt so terrible.
Yeah.
That this has come. And so now I feel like I'm not all the way back to square one, but
right.
Square one and a half or something. So.
But it's not going to, you're not going to go to perfect relationship overnight.
It's less about me and more about my kids.
So what you have
to reintroduce him back into that.
So would it be slow steps, small steps?
What if he just has a relationship with you and not say everybody right at the beginning until you see how he's going to function and react with that?
I hate to be a pessimist, but you know how that works.
Right. In his desperation, though, God may be asking you to bring him to the Lord. And your dad, in his desperation, as his treatment's the one, he may get there because of you. But it's hard. It's not easy.
Has he asked to see the kids?
No, not specifically. I mean, not in the first couple of phone calls that we got.
Yeah. You guys are just learning to it. You guys are just establishing a baseline. Yeah, and he's in the middle of crisis. So what does a good nurse do in the middle of crisis?
Try to fix things.
Yeah, and so it's under, what needs to be fixed? Or maybe it's just being present. Maybe it's learning just to be present.
Made the conversation shorter, but I didn't call him out on it.
Yeah.
I didn't. Because part of me almost understands, because that's been my crutch before.
Sure.
So, I mean, not saying this was the case, but it could have been sober for the past year and a half, 2 years, and then cancer hit all of a sudden. No, it's not. You almost can't blame him for
leaning back on mm-hmm. what he felt was comfort and safe.
I think instead of asking what the problem is, we need to ask what the story is, right? Just like what you just did. All right, Dad just called up and he drank again. All right, that's the problem, but what's the story? You know the story. And what that does is that enables you then to respond appropriately with kindness and patience. Because there is a story. There's always a story. It's always a story. What does it mean for somebody who, for however long it's been, used this as a crutch and then to be levied with something as ever-present as throat cancer? Yeah. Does that enable me to be patient and kind? Does that enable me to walk alongside of him and just do whatever God asks me to do? I don't know. I think it's great that you answered the phone, and I think it's great when he calls that you'll answer it again. That's probably what he needs. Not something to fix. Not something to fix. You can't fix it.
You can't. He's an adult, and you can only control your reaction
to
what he does and not what he does. If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I know it's bothersome to you.
Is your last encounter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Regret.
Yeah.
But
and that's, you know.
At the same time, I don't want to look back and think of my kid's last memory of their grandpa as not being able to walk straight.
But at their age, the last memory they're going to have is what you give them. You remember the good. You remember the positive. And that'll be there, but if you don't focus on it, they
won't. I've never painted him in a bad light to them.
That's good.
I don't think they know anything about his alcohol struggles or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, they know they haven't seen him in a couple of years. They know he hasn't been able to function and stuff like that. I've never ran him into the ground.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what they'll remember.
But I almost kind of observed that. They don't know that about me. Why can't I understand what Grandpa's saying? Why is Grandpa repeating himself many times in the conversation? Why can't Grandpa walk straight?
Grandpa's sick.
Yeah.
And that's not a lie.
That's right? Good. That's good. But yeah, just, God, what are you asking me to do? How do you want to shape me through this? How do you want to make me into a better son? How do you want me to make it shape me into a better father, a better listener? All of those things. It's a powerful opportunity. Powerful opportunity that your dad's given you. Both your dads. Andy?
We did ours together.
Well,
I don't remember.
But it wasn't quite what
she did.
We did.
I thought we were sharing the most painful thing.
Nothing else to share then. Anything? I'm just asking.
Why are you looking at me?
Anything else that you're just processing or working through, or what is God asking you to do?
God has been refining us under a fire for
3 years.
3 years or longer, starting with Uncle Carl, really. I mean, starting in 2016, our life has just been refinement, to put it nicely. You know, he was alone, he was in Hilliard, he was not well, they didn't have any children, I was like the child, so we spent a long time trying to convince him to come nearer to us, and you know, we took him around and showed him different assisted livings, and it wasn't a matter of finances, it was just a matter of stubbornness, being alone, you know, and worried about him going to the basement, trying to do his laundry when he couldn't breathe. You know, just all of that. And then it got to the place he had to come over here. He had no choice. And so then You know, we got him into from the hospital to the nursing home to an assisted living. But that was a big thing. For a year, we spent, first quarter of the first year driving with a pickup truck and a car over to Hilliard to load up stuff because we didn't want him. We didn't know what to do with the stuff, for one. They had lived there all of them since 1960, since the year I was born. So all that was accumulated in their house, and my aunt had passed away, you know, previous years. So it was like a big process, and we did it. You know, we moved stuff back here. We kept our garage, and our one room is as full of his household belongings, you know. And so we spent that year. And being had good and bad with it, you know. I mean, it was stressful for us doing all of that, but then we got a relationship with him better. Even though I had a relationship with him, it was better than ever because I got to see him all the time and talk to him and learn about stories that I really never thought about asking when I was a kid, you know. So we learned a lot, and we did develop a relationship, and he passed away, and I was sitting there, you know. So it was actually love. If you can pass away, it was a peaceful passing. So then we went through that. We had a little bit of, well, then it's like you're handling all of the stuff that comes after that because there's no one else to handle it. And he was prepared as much as, you know, you could be, but still, there's a lot of stuff. So we dealt with that. And then we had a little window of time that we were okay. And then more stuff came upon us and the end of 2019. And, you know, it's just been, you know, actually in between that, our granddaughter got sick and she has like autoimmune issues. So that was, we went through that and we just struggled a lot. And then in 2019, we have gone through a lot. We have someone that we love that, and we're not saying this out of denial on our part or of any, we know the facts, we know the evidence, we have everything, but we have a family member that's been wrongly convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just saying that. We have everything there. If you want to see it, we've got
the whole thing from the beginning. It's like you told us,
hard
first,
to
but we see this happening, but then found out that we live in a very corrupt.
We've lived with it
area.
In a very corrupt. That can be, if they want to be, very corrupt, even though 100% of the evidence says something else. And it's such a vile, repulsive thing that, you know, it's like, how do you explain that to people? But 100% evidence, how does someone, you know, end up there? I don't know. We wrote a whole paper, but, you know,
that's why I thought we were going down that path. That's why.
Right. The most painful moments. I mean,
I've written about it. It's like 20 pages long, and I add to it all the time.
Not the one today.
Not the one we're going to do today, no.
No.
But
I mean, we've had, we've been married 17 years. But prior to that, I was married 23 years. I went through a painful divorce. It was unfaithfulness. And it is what it is. But he was married for 17 years. His wife passed away. She was 35. She had a 5-year illness of battling a hereditary disease. He's got 3 kids. You know, you're trying to raise kids, take care of a sick wife, finances, everything else. His wife passed away. That was painful. My thing was painful. But nothing has been as painful as this last
3 years.
3 years and 4 months has been extremely painful. And we're obviously we're working through appeals, but I don't even know how to explain it.
What is?
We have a few really close friends that have walked through us from the beginning. They know every caveat. They know every, and you're one of them, Pastor Paul. You know that they, you know the details. Mm-hmm. You see what's on, has been done and investigated, and there is not one shred of evidence that does not prove innocence.
Yeah.
But did I say that right?
Yes.
No. Okay. I was like, did I say that backwards or no? Everything points to, and it's stuff you can't alter and you can't change.
Yeah.
But people in power have twisted and hidden.
Lied about
even.
What do you feel?
That will be addressed at some point in our life. But it's been
there's something about injustice. We're gonna spend a lot of time over the next couple months, few months, talking about justice that really cuts us to the quick, because we're wired for things to be just, meaning relationship with God, relationship one with another, that we're moving towards peace. And in the presence of such a heinous injustice, that there's so many emotions and so many potent emotions that I know you guys have been working through. How do you feel that God has been inviting you to go through this in a godly, light-bringing way?
I feel we had a choice. And it was very obviously emotional. I was a
Understandably.
I've worked through a lot. I've become better, haven't I? I can't sit there without crying. I wanted your sermons even.
Everybody needs a goal.
But
you've come a long ways. I mean, man, let's give you some tremendous credit. Yeah.
Because how could God, if He is so good, let this happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know?
That's a real question.
You know, and then we start looking at things. I mean, the evidence is so blatant. How can this happen? And
right.
Okay, there's a reason. We're going to be people that change something in the world because of this. We're going
to
do something.
It could be an invitation towards that.
Right.
Reforming something.
Reforming
something.
I mean, yeah. There has to be some purpose to all of this, because it is not like it could be. No, it's very blatant.
Clear cut.
And it's a lonely thing to go through. We have good friends, a few very close friends that we could confide in and follow us. And some people stepped forward. Some people call us names. Some people, I mean, you know, you run the gamut of everything. But we could turn away from God, or we could turn closer.
Draw near. Draw near. Yeah, I think that's the invitation, right?
With both. Didn't I?
That's all. But that's, I think that's what it is to be human. I think that's just what it is to be human.
And we chose to get closer. So we're refining, I guess. He's refining us. He sure is.
Yeah.
We're weary, though.
We're ready. I was sharing this with someone last night. There's two reasons God gets very angry. Really, really angry. Like the kind of anger where things get caught on fire kind of angry. One of them is idolatry. He gets really angry about idolatry. When you love something when you're supposed to be loving Him, okay? He takes idolatry very, very seriously. And the other one is injustice. He gets angry over injustice when humans do not treat each other the way that they're supposed to. It's almost like, hey, when you don't treat me right, I get upset. When you don't treat each other correctly, when you let things like that happen, he says, it really, really bothers me. Really, really bothers me.
And there's days he gives signs. Okay, I know you're there.
Yeah. There you go.
Long. Sometimes, you know, you're like, we're in a valley. sun's going to shine here. We're waiting on
it. It will. And the good king will return, and the right will be made, the wrong will be made right.
That's the faith and hope that we hold on to.
Yeah, we hold on to the help of our confession.
He served 12 years in the Navy. You know, the son served 5 years in the Navy. We have another son that was 4 years Marines. As Andy, when the day the conviction was brought down, and we did have a really crappy attorney, but at the time you don't know that because they're telling you, really.
They made it sound like it was just going to be thrown out.
Look, it's so obvious.
And he's like, ah, it's so obvious. He didn't bother.
Well, now we know what should have been
done. Get any experts. Literally, even after they selected the jury, he came back into us and our meeting and said, they've got until the opening statements to drop this.
Right.
He hadn't done no preparation.
Right. Well, we didn't know what was needed. We were ignorant to what do you need.
We didn't watch the circus of a trial go on.
Yes. And he was fired.
It shouldn't have lied.
The day of the...
But through that, there's always this invitation of, we're going to love God, we're going to love others. We're gonna deal with injustice the way we're supposed to deal with injustice, and you guys have grown through it, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
He came home and took the flagpole and the flag down, and he said, "I didn't serve a country that has justice like this."
Hey, you know that's okay, but here's the beautiful thing when it comes to justice.
It's
justice isn't an American thing. Justice is a Christian thing. And so our responsibility is to love the thing that God loves, and God loves justice. And so look forward to seeing how you guys continue to grow through this and, maybe be agents of reform.
I would voices. Love that.
Yeah.
And be, that's the only...
For speaking out, being a voice for those who are oppressed. And Jesus said, I came to set the captives free.
And you know, that's the other thing. I think, how could... I don't know where... other than God, how we have provided for this.
Mm.
Because there is no way.
Yeah.
We're common. I mean, we live in a nice house and we live an average life, but there is no way but God that this could go to the level that we're taking it. There are people that can't do that. There are people that can't afford that if they're treated unjustly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, everybody that says they're unjustly,
There is. We're going to talk. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. But
really,
how can you continue to shine? You know, what is God asking you to do in this moment?
Right.
And what are you going to do about it? And you guys are doing it. So.
Yeah.
When we get together in 2 weeks, May 17th, I want you to see if you can't between now and then discern moments when you have been brought alongside somebody else who's going through a life moment. How can you be present? This isn't you. This is you walking alongside of them. How can you help provide reflection? How can you help in their sharing moment? How can you maybe ask them, hey, what do you think God's asking you to do in this? And what are you going to, how can I help you? How can I help you move forward? Learning that, we follow Jesus by helping people follow Jesus. And so, kind of keep your ear to the ground over the next couple of weeks. Do you happen to come across a conversation, an opportunity, a phone call, where someone's going through a speed bump or a brick wall, big or small, and you have an opportunity to share with them and be present with them? Does that make sense?
I like that you record them. I re-listened to this, actually.
Okay.
Because you catch things that you don't the first time.
I'm glad it's a resource. So.
It is.
Why don't we stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Thank you for being present. Thank you for being here. Time flies. And thank you for your honesty and your sharing. Father, we each want to be trophies of grace and be transformed into all that Jesus Christ intends and prays for us. We ask, Father, that you would help us now over the next couple weeks take some of the things that we've been thinking about and praying about. And as we have opportunity to come alongside of others in life moments, times when you're drawing near to them, would you help us to be a presence? Would you help us to be a voice? Would you help us to listen? Just to ask questions, to help them reflect. You intend so much for all of us. We want to be your servants, ready at the drop of a hat to be helpful to a hurting world, people who are seeking justice and hope and peace and love. And Jesus, you are all of those things. So help us now over the next couple of weeks, your blessing upon us, your grace and your mercy upon us. May your face shine upon us as we help others walk in peace. And in Jesus' name, amen.